Mr. Anderson.
Yeah.
Mr. Anderson on 9-0.
Things I thought I would touch base with you on.
Good.
Number one, I spent most of yesterday down in the financial community, and I was very inquisitive as to how they thought the Johnson administration was doing. You will be pleased to note that I did not get a single adverse comment. These are from some of the most hard-headed people in the country, and they're people who were critical of me at a part of the time when I was in the Treasury. So I talked to them very objectively. I know them well enough that if they had any reservations, they would darn well have communicated it to me. But I thought you ought to know that I have not seen any more remarkable display of confidence in the President in my lifetime than the financial community is showing at this moment.
That's mighty good. I've worked mighty hard along the lines you suggested. I hope I'll finish tonight. On our figures, we've got 3 or 4 substantial items out yet, but I think that we'll get it pretty close to 100, 2 or 3% one way or the other.
Point number two, I thought if you wanted Kermit Gordon or somebody to send me on a confidential basis some of the highlights, what might go into this budget. I would do such things as this. I'll get Walter Thayer. I'll get Murray Rosant at the Wall Street Journal. I'll get the Kiplinger Letter. I'll get some of the Henry Boots. I'll get some of the people that I know quite well, and I will do my best, although you never can promise what a writer will do. But I'll do my best to get these people prepared to come out immediately with favorable and supporting comments.
Yeah, I may just try to see if I can get Elmer Stotz, who knows more about it than anybody else, been there 35 years.
Yeah.
Maybe just come up there and go over it with you pretty carefully. What it's going to do is roughly this. It's going to make a $1 billion reduction in defense. Going to have less employees for defense than it had in 15 years. It's going to make a $600 million reduction in space. It's going to make a $600 million reduction in atomic energy. We've got nuclear warheads running out of our ears. We're going to close down 4 reactors. The main argument they've got is that Scoop Jackson's running for election and turns a lot of people out of work. And it does turn 300 or 400 out of work, but there's no reason to spend $50 million. Making, for instance, we've got 150 nuclear, we've got 150 Russian submarines that we know about. We've got 4,000 nuclear anti-submarine warheads. So we got almost 30 to the submarine, and we're still making them. And we just put a stop to that. The chart shows oh, almost a level need, and then a right sharp upturn, almost a 90-degree upturn for the production that we've got. So we're going to bring our production down to substantially above what we need for our targets, but not anything like what we're doing now. We are going to cut agriculture. We're going to increase health and education because of the bills that have been passed that I've signed this year, the vocational education bill. We're trying to train some people that on the relief rolls now, and Negroes that have no training, to try to put them in some of these schools. We've also got a college scholarship program that's going to cost us a good deal of money. So there'll be $600-700 million in health, education, welfare that'll pretty well offset, we'll say, the space. There'll be $300 million in labor, the extra labor department for the manpower retraining program, where we're going in and trying to retrain people who are out of job, whether they're coal miners or what, and give them airplane mechanics and other things they can do. Those will be the two softest programs we have, but both of them are mandatory under the legislation and essential, and we think are good programs. I have a poverty program that'll be $300 million that we'll try to have some adult education, teaching people to read and write, taking the illiterates and trying to prepare them to hold a job instead of just stay on the tax rolls. It'll be for the bottom 20%, but it'll be an NOA of $500 million and an expenditure of $250 million for this year. The overall thing will, I believe, be surprisingly under 100, which is your deadline. I will be criticized a good deal because they say I'll provoke a depression and that these financial wizards want you to cut the budget, but they won't create any jobs if you do, and they'll ultimately join Goldwater anyway, and the column's already running that. The fellow yesterday morning in the Washington Post, Nosiker, had a story 3 days ago, and then another one yesterday, saying Johnson's gambling with a depression, and he's taking all this money out of the economy. And I'm taking the position that, number one, I'm taking $4-5 billion out of the economy. That normally Kennedy was increasing it $5 billion a year, and it could have been expected. The 99 was his budget this year, 98.8. If you put 5 in it, it'd be 104. And I'm not putting that 5 in it. And that I'm believing that the businessmen, I'm having a meeting of the business advisory group this afternoon, tonight for dinner, and I believe they'll come in here and get these damn Republicans that have been on a sit-down strike to pass me a tax bill. It'll put $11 billion back in the economy. And I believe with Tom Mann's appointment, as you suggested, to give private enterprise some encouragement in Latin America, that we won't have to take all the government money, that there'll be some private money that'll go in there. And they're saying that he's too conservative and too reactionary, and I'm going to bet on him for a couple of months if they'll let me. And it looks to me like, from the way the stock market's been behaving and the way they've been talking, that if I put my arm around them, that they'll show some confidence of their own. Now, if they will, I'll get rid of a lot of this boondoggling. If they don't put it in, the government will put it in. Now, I'm gonna put my money, though, on the basis of what you said and what you think, and I'm going to play it that way as long as they let me.
Well, you're doing the right thing, I think, and there's nobody in the world smart enough to call every economic turn if there was everybody in the world to be rich.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the financial community right today is making more plans for capital outlays and capital expenditures than they were making 3 months ago. They're also making more plans for the return of some of their capital on these foreign ventures to the United States than they were making 6 months ago. And I have taken the role when I go downtown of being inquisitor and asking him what in the world this man doing was wrong, what he's complaining about, if they have a complaint, and all this one. Because I think I'd get it if they hadn't. And I'll just tell you as of yesterday, I guess I saw 20. I didn't get any complaints. I didn't get anything except the vote of confidence. Now, I have got an invitation to come down to this business council meeting, which I have a dinner for tonight. I talked to your social secretary this morning. I told her that I couldn't come. And the reason is I've only been out of the bed 2 days with intestinal flu.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't come.
And I just don't feel like it. Exposing other people.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I do want you to talk to some of these folks, though, and I do want you to see Elmer Stotts maybe tomorrow, if you feel like it.
Well, hell, I'll feel like seeing him.
And I'll call him, and then I think you ought to get a little group together, maybe for lunch or highball in the afternoon, and explain what we're confronted with. Now, in summary, it's briefly this. We had a 98.8 budget. His expenditure is going to run 98 plus. He's been adding $5 billion. They felt that's what we ought to do. I took the position that the cabinet had to reduce it, and McNamara set the pace by cutting out $1 billion mostly in surplus plants and surplus employees and consolidating depots and stuff of that kind, and really just closing up 34 installations, things of that type. That gave me a good platform to launch things from. I made the cabinet to take off 800 million and 10,000 employees in one meeting, gave them from Wednesday to Friday. Then I've got them reporting to me each quarter. I've frozen the employment at the present ceilings. I've told them I want them to get a target under those ceilings and give me their goal. Then they can't exceed the goal unless I personally approve of it. So I'm trying to put an effective control there. I believe that while we are making an allowance for our poverty program of that'll involve a couple hundred odd million expenditure if we get it in the Congress for the less fortunate, and while we've got a manpower retraining that's got to be done, that they passed the law, and the education program, that we'll nevertheless keep our NOA $4 or $5 billion under what Kennedy had it, and keep our expenditures under the 100 anyway, and maybe a little better. And Kennedy's NOA was $107.9 billion last year. Ours is going to be several billion under that. Kennedy's expenditures last year were 98 plus something, close to 99, and ours are going to get awful close at it. And we are not expanding the federal economy, and we're relying on private sector doing it. Now, we just hope we're right, and I think that the best thing could come out of this would be for people like the Business Council and the leaders in the financial community to say that we've got our chance now, and we've been unshackled, and give us some tax relief, and get up here and talk to their people and get a tax bill passed, and the $3 or $4 billion you took out of the economy, we'll put back in with a tax bill.
Well, that's the reason I want to talk to some of these chief editors and that sort of thing, and try to get them set, because once they say something, you don't get them to back off.
I'll try to get him to call you this afternoon or in the morning. I don't know when he can get up there, but I would do it as soon as he could.
Now, one other thing. I'm going to call Tom Mann today. I haven't called him before because I'm sick.
Yeah.
I see at least 100 Latin American leaders every 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
And they come in with their gripes, with all their proposals and that sort of thing. And I'm just going to call him and tell him that anytime he wants me to help him.
I sure do.
I'll take some time off, and I'll come down there, and I'll spend all every time he wants to, and I'll do it quietly and silently without any fanfare, and I want to help him make success of it.
I think that's good, and I'll tell him to be expecting it as soon as I see him. I'm going to see him next day or two. You take the Wall Street Journal, though, and the Time Loose Group, and you try to point out to them that your goal was $100 billion, and Now we've got one or two gimmicks in it. We're going to save $300 or $400 million by instead of sending this money that we make in grants to the states on the hill burden and other things, and letting them take it and then hire an architect and then draw plans and then let a contract keep the money in a local bank. We're going to keep it here and not use it until they send us a check to meet their contractor's estimate. And we think that's solid, and that saves us $300 or $400 million.
That's no gimmick.
No, they say it's just solid as it can be, but I mean, I want to point out that, and it's damned easy. They asked for $123 billion, Bob.
Yeah.
The request of the budget were for $123 billion.
Yeah.
And we'll cut off over $23 billion, maybe 25, and that's a tough job.
Two other things, and then I'll quit.
Another thing we're asking is, you may not like this, I don't know, we're asking to drop the withholding rate to 14%. It'll yield us a better fiscal balance between 64 and 65. And if we withhold the 15% rate, we'll shrink this year's deficit by collecting too much in 64 and inflate the 65 one. If we withhold at 14% rate, the fiscal year 64 deficit's going to be higher. 65 deficit will be smaller, but as a result of dropping 14% right away instead of waiting until 65, an average of $200 million more per month will be put into the private economy, which we think that we're going to need if we avoid a recession. And we think that the extra stimulus, the drop to 14, will serve to balance off the loss of incomes and jobs resulting from all these cuts that we've had. We think if we drop the withholding rate in one stage instead of two, it'll simplify the administration for the employers and for the Internal Revenue Service. And we won't have near as many refunds to make. And everybody in Treasury and Budget and Economic Advisors all think that ought to be done, and they think they got the committee ready to go along with it. But I just, a lot of people, even at the lower level now, they deduct 15 and then they spend all the time trying to refund it.
Yeah, I understand. Now, are you going to take a chance in either one of these speeches, the budget or the other one, to talk about the price of gold?
Just to reaffirm it, we're going to have a sound dollar.
Mr. President, at some point, you ought to, without making any great fanfare, you want me to, I'll send you some language for your consideration. But at some point, you ought to say that you're going to maintain the price of gold at $35 an ounce. Now, this is not just a domestic problem, this is a world problem. And because the dollar is the leading reserve currency of the world. Kennedy said it in his February speech, 1961. I don't know whether you know it or not, but he asked me and I helped him write that speech. And he made it very clear that they want to maintain the price of gold and they get $35 an ounce. And he said it one more time. This is the kind of thing that if you said every day, everybody would scare about it to death. Because it's this old thing, you protested too much. But at some point, it must become clear to the world that the Johnson administration is going to maintain the value of gold at $35 an ounce. You're going to get some pressure from South Africa, and you're going to get some pressure from Canada, and you may get some slight pressure from Great Britain to let gold find a different value. There's a lot of arguments about it, but it doesn't help anybody except the Russians. Sometime when I'm with you, I'll run through that story, tell you about it. But you ought to find a point at some place where, without being dramatic or without making a great cause out of it, you ought to reaffirm the fact that the United States government is going to maintain the price of gold at $35 an ounce. Well, if you don't want to say it in those terms, you're going to maintain it at the present fixed value.
Well, we say that in the State of the Union.
But just so you get it in there, that there's not going to be any change in the price of gold. And the other thing I want to tell you is the most important world appointment that you're going to make in a long time is the appointment Federal Reserve Board just comes up in February.
They've already made it. Mr. Seymour Harris. I haven't, but President Kennedy has. He had a long-standing agreement with him that he would go on the board, and I don't know what in the world
going to come as a great shock.
Yeah, well, it's made, and he's agreed to it, and they all been looking for it and expecting it.
Yeah. But I don't know the gentleman.
I never have either.
I never met him in my life. But he is not highly regarded abroad. He's certainly not highly regarded in this country. And I was hoping that you'd find a way to get somebody else.
Well, I just had a kind of a war with had it with a good many of them, but Teddy Kennedy talked to me within the hour, came in to see me.
Yeah.
Said that the whole family, they had talked to this man, they'd made the commitment, and they just felt that this was it, that he'd adjusted his things accordingly, and they just felt like that had to do it.
Well, I think you must prepare yourself for some repercussions. I say I don't have anything in the world against him, because I don't know him. I don't agree with what he's written. I don't agree with what he said. That doesn't make me right and him wrong. The big point is that this is the kind of thing that's going to create some concern, particularly from the foreign central bankers, because it's the first appointment that you will have made, and they won't know if this is a commitment made for Kennedy. So I would prepare myself for some...
Well, I think he'll know it by the time I get through, because I'm going to say it.
Yeah. I'd prepare myself for some repercussions. Now, the final thing, and then I'll shut up. I wonder if it would be helpful to you if I prepared a sort of loose leaf notebook in which I set out some of the technical workings of the Federal Reserve, monetary system, the way in which gold is handled here and abroad, the operation of the London gold market, the way in which debt management functions and all that sort of thing, that you could just stick in your desk, and I'll prepare it myself so nobody will know I did it. And because these are highly technical problems, and you've got so damn many things to worry about and consider, that you might want to before you have contact. Economists and technical people who just pull that thing out and turn to the right page and read a few minutes, get the mechanisms back in your mind. And if you think it would serve a useful purpose, I'll go to work and prepare one for you.
I wish you would. I'd like to have it. Now, see if this doesn't go pretty strong. We must continue through such measures the interest equalization tax as well as the cooperation of other nations. Our recent progress towards balancing our international accounts. This administration will at all times preserve the present gold value of the dollar.
That's all you need to say. That's all you need to say.
We must expand world trade. Having recognized in Act 62 that we must buy as well as sell, we now expect our trading partners to recognize that we must sell as well as buy. We're willing to share our market with them all, asking only that they share their markets with us.
Yeah. Well, you said all you need to say about gold. You said it in a good way. And it's the kind of thing that doesn't need to be repeated often, because once you say it, once everybody believes it. And if you said it every month, everybody will start wondering whether you really meant it or not.
We must take new steps toward the control and eventual abolition of arms. We must not stockpile arms beyond our needs or seek an excess military power that is provocative as well as wasteful. It is in this spirit that we're cutting back our production of uranium and plutonium for nuclear weapons and closing other non-essential installations. And it is in this spirit that we hope our adversaries will do the same. Specifically, this nation is ready to match with proper and adequate safeguards any verifiable arms reduction made to the Soviet Union.
Let me ask you one other thing. When are you going to send up this name?
Which name?
Seymour Harris.
Oh, I don't know. I don't even know when the vacancy occurs. I've just been arguing with him that I couldn't keep commitments, but I haven't made much success, and I think that it involves a whole break with the whole family. And it's over one ambassador, a fellow named Beer, and over Seymour Harris, and he did have it in writing, and it was announced. It's in the paper.
Well,
and it just
paper that it was contemplated.
Yeah, and Hey, no question what he had an agreement with him. Both of them.
No question about that. The question is whether or not you're bound by it in this case.
I'm not bound, but the question is whether they're bound by me or not then, you see.
Have you told him you're going to do it?
No. I told him that I didn't want to do it, but I told him that I wanted to honor the president's commitments where they were made, but I thought that I ought to have a man that was had my economic philosophy, and I was worried about a good many things over there, and so on and so forth. And but I think I am bound, actually and practically and realistically.
I hope you'll call Bill Martin over and talk to him about this before you do it.
Well.
Because this one really worries me. It worries me not because of any consideration for this fellow, but I'm worried because I think that the world reaction, first gun to the Federal Reserve, will be taken as a signal with the character of the board is materially off. Real security that we've had is more serious goal run than that one in the country is the fact that Bill Martin regarded as an absolute anchor of the fiscal and economic protection.
I agree with that.
And this fellow is this fellow.
I'm a little worried about his saying interest rates are going up a little bit. I wrote him a little note about it this morning.
Please take an awful good look at this one before you do it.
Okay, Uncle Robert.
Okay, my friend.
Bye. Now, you'll be available anytime tomorrow or next day?
I'll be available anytime tomorrow or the next day.
I think it's if you don't do it beforehand, before the budget's out, why, you pretty well, it's already in the papers, you see.
Oh, you've got to do it before the budget's out.
Budget message not coming up till the 20th, but I'm going to announce the general broad outlines of it tomorrow.
What I want to do is just call these fellas up and say, look, I've been talking to the boss, and I am not...
What's your number in your office?
Judson 2-1424.
1?
JU2-1424.
All right. You going to be there today?
I'll be here all day.
All right.
Ben.
Bye.